wanted to speak a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. There's a question that I think bothers a lot of us, and I'm always asked it, and I'm always asking myself it. These are days that we are expected to do tshuva. These are days that we're expected to have introspection and change and try to better ourselves. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's great. But I think history proves in many of our lives that as much as we have attempted to do tshuva in years past, and we made our kabbalas and we klapped al chet and we have tried to do what we were supposed to do, but eventually, and this is not to put an ayin hara on it, but very often the kabbalas fail and the tshuva sort of just dissipates. It doesn't really stick. And so as we enter again the same time of year and the same inspiration to change and to grow, there's always like a little person on our shoulder whispering in our ear maybe that, come on, you know it's not going to stay. It's nice to talk about it. It's nice to think about it. It's nice to hope for it. But at the end of the day, what's my tshuva worth if it's not really going to be a pure and complete and whole tshuva that's really going to affect actual change in my life? And we speak about the concept of tshuva shlema, tshuva gemura. I want to have a complete tshuva, complete and absolute tshuva. And it doesn't always match our actions. We try to do it, but it's not. Sometimes we fall very short. And so, as good as we may be, what's the point? And today, what I'd like to do is absolutely dispel the notion that tshuva has to be all. It has to be complete. And if it's not, then it's severely lacking and it's worthless. Because as long as we think that way, then we're going to not be inspired to do any tshuva. There's a famous philosopher, a French philosopher, that he was a big anti-Semite, but even anti-Semites, I guess, sometimes could have a good zug, a good idea, a good concept. His name is Voltaire, and he has a very famous line. And he says that perfect is the enemy of good, which means that a lot of times we're looking for perfection. We're looking to get everything perfect, perfect, perfect. And in our quest for perfection, we are not able to even do something that's good because we want it perfect. And if it's not perfect, we're not going to feel good about it. So I'm not going to clean my room because I'm not going to be able to do a perfect job. So if I start cleaning my room a little bit, you know, what's it worth? It's not perfect. No, it's worth a lot. Perfect, when you want perfection, perfect is the enemy of good. You're never going to have good if you're constantly looking for perfect. And this is very true when it comes to tshuva. If we're waiting to actually have that moment of inspiration that we're going to mamish change, we're going to do tshuva gemura, tshuva shlema, we're going to be changed people and everything, and we're never going to speak Lashon Hara again, and we're never going to look at Dvar HaMasurim again, and we're never going to be Mevatel Torah again, we're never going to miss davening again. If we're waiting for that, then hopefully that could happen, and sometimes it does happen, but don't let even a minor form of tshuva go to the wayside because you're expecting perfection. Whatever tshuva we're able to have, even if it's a little hearer tshuva, it still is, in the Rebbeinu Shlom's eyes, something that's priceless. It's a little gem that's worth billions of dollars to Hashem. And I'll prove it to you. Because there's a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin is on Daf Mem Tesem Abeis. And the Gemara says, it's a fascinating Gemara if you think about it, that if a person says to a woman, "I'm a kadesh es hayisha," And he says to her, Almanas Shani Tzadik, I'm marrying you on the condition that I am a tzaddik. Afilu imhu rasha gomer. Even if this man that's proposing is a rasha gomer, everybody knows this guy is bad news. He's terrible. He's a big rasha. The Gemara is calling him a rasha gomer. That's pretty severe. He's not just tam like, you know, one day good, one day bad. He's a rasha gomer. He's a really hardened rasha. And he does all the chamurais and all the kalas he's over. And there's no hope for this guy. This guy is really bad news. Guess what? The Gemara says, Mekudeshes. This poor girl is Mekudeshes. She's Mekudeshes. If she accepts the ring from him, Almanas Shani Tzadik, Shani Tzadik, not Tzadik Gomer, Shani Tzadik, so she is Mekudeshes. Why? The Gemara says, Shema hir her tshuva bedaitai. Because there's a concern that perhaps this Rasha Gomer, when he was proposing, he had a glimpse of tshuva, a glimmer of tshuva, a spark of tshuva in his mind. And that's what makes the woman married, because he is at that very moment considered a tzaddik. He's a Rasha Gomer. He does, he's Mechal Shabbos with Farhesia, and he does all types of terrible averus, and he doesn't matter. If he says to her, Amanash Ani Tzadik, Shema Hira Tshuva Beliba, she's Mekudeshes. This is how the Rambam paskins. What do we see from this Gemara? That never ever negate or wipe away a Hira Tshuva. Even if I'm able to muster in these times, in these precious days, a hira tshuva, it doesn't have to be that I'm a changed man and that I'm mamish perfect and I'm going to Rosh Hashanah committing to do everything perfectly. That's not expected. It's expected in a perfect world, but we're not living in a perfect world. We're living in our world. We're living in the world that we're human beings. Now we have Yetzirah, we have Tivus. And we're not perfect, and we change, and we're subject to, you know, the turbulence of the times that we live in. So when a person is mahara b'tshuva during this time of year, there is a very great outcome. Don't say, well, it's not good enough. I'm not really changed sufficiently. I want it to really be great. You can have all the aspirations and halavai that we should all accomplish all of our kabbalas, and it should go miyem kippurim zad yem kippurim haba. But very often that's just not the case. But since we think that it has to be the case, we don't do anything. And perfect is the enemy of good. If we're waiting for that perfect tshuva shlema, and then alas, it just every year it goes away and it's not happening. So we say, you know, this is just a waste. This whole Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur business, L'Seres Me'Tshuva, it's nice to hear shmuzin, it's nice to, you know, to daven in a machzer and to eat, but what's it worth? The Rebbe Shem's not buying it. And the answer is he doesn't negate any tshuva. Any tshuva to him is very chashuv. The great Rabbi Yaina in his Shari Tshuva speaks about this, and he says, he compares tshuva to to washing one's clothing. And the mashal that I like to give is that, let's say, you know, you're wearing a tie, Shabbos, you're wearing a tie, and not Shabbos, let's say Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos starts, you're wearing a tie, and you're having some cholent, and of course the cholent falls right in your tie, and you're very upset about it. So what do you do? If you're yeshivish, you go like this, and you, with your finger, you lick off the cholent, and you hope that, you know, and that will do something. It's, you know, much better, I guess, than nothing. If you're really good, you'll get some seltzer, some club soda, and you'll try to get it out with that. And it'll get a lot of it out, but it's still, you know, there still will be some residue on the tie. The only real way, the best way to get it out is by sending it to a dry cleaner. For a few dollars, it comes back brand new. But, says Rabbeinu Yaina, everything that you're doing, no matter from one end of the spectrum to the other, helps. Obviously, if the more tshuva that we do, the more astringent that we put into it, the more toil and work that we put into tshuva, the better it is. Rabbeinu Yonah gives us this generous and beautiful sentence, and he says, "Va'amnam l'chol tshuva timtza slicha." Whatever tshuva you do, if you get it off even a little bit, that's better than nothing. Is it as good as mamish sending it to the dry cleaner, which is like a full body, full, you know, armor type of tshuva? It's not as good. But you should know, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that every tshuva will be met with some degree of slicha. It works. Tshuva, even the most basic form of tshuva works. Alachas kama v'kama, if we go and we do more and we clap al chetz and we feel bad about what we're doing and we go through the real gut-wrenching process of tshuva, that's, of course, a lot better. We're not, you know, I'm not trying to propose over here to cut out the entire tshuva process. Of course, we have to try. But if we're expecting perfection, that's a very big mistake. Because we're not perfect, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. So we have to try to do the best that we can, even just thinking, even right now as I speak, if we think, you know, Taka, I want to do tshuva, I want to be a little better, that thought alone is enough to illuminate the whole world. It's not a nothing thing, it's real. It's an amazing power of tshuva that even a little bit of tshuva helps. A hearer tshuva is able to be Mekadesh a woman, even if you're a Rosh HaGomer. Imagine what we could be. We're not Rishon Gemurim. If we have a hearer tshuva, can you imagine what we're able to accomplish? How we could literally be a changed person, even with a small hearer tshuva? There's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. It's in Perek Chaf Dalad, medrash Chaf Ches. And this was the morning after, the day after the chet of Adam Arishon, that terrible chet, that first initial sin of Adam Arishon. And, you know, we think sometimes it happened much later. If you look in Chazal, all this took place, the whole Maisa took place on the very first day of Bria. If you think, you know, you have a bad first day of something, you know, look at Adam Arishon. In a few hours, he went from being born, he married Chava, And he sinned by the Eitz Hadas, and then he had to get ready for Shabbos. He was banished from the from Gan Eden. All this happened within a few hours. And he had Cain Vehevel. And Cain Vehevel killed the other. All this happened. Didn't happen over 1,000 years. This happened all within a span of a few hours. And on Shabbos, Adam Arishon was walking around, and he bumps into his son Cain. And Cain had just killed his brother, and he had a din in Shamayim. There was this big tumult. You kill your brother in the very first day of creation, it's not a good thing. So Adam Arishon turns to Cain and he says, "Manaseh bedinech." What happened to your case? Like, what was the outcome of that case? You went through a, you know, probably a very strict din in Shamayim. What'd you do? How'd you get around it? I'm also dealing with a federal crime. I also, I have a lot to worry about also. Tell me what you did. What happened? So Cain says to his father, "Asisi tshuva v'nis pasharti." I did tshuva v'nis pasharti. Hard word to define, v'nis pasharti. And I compromised. Like a pshara. Pshara means like, let's split it down the middle. Let's settle. Let's compromise. Let's do a plea bargain. So Adam Arishon like couldn't get over this. He was flabbergasted by what his son had told him. Amar kachi kaychet shel tshuva v'ani lo ha'isi edeya. This is the kayach of tshuva. This is the power of tshuva, and I had no idea. Miyad amar Adam Arishon v'amar Mizmar Shir Liyema Shabbos. As soon as Adam Rishon chapped that this is the power of tshuva, he said the famous Mizmar Shir Liyema Shabbos is Adam Rishon's composition. We say it on Shabbos, we say it on Yantiv, we say it on by Kabbalah Shabbos. Mizmar Shir Liyema Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. It also means tshuva. Toiv lahoydes l'Hashem. It's good to give thanks to Hashem. Medrash says, "Toiv lisvadei slashem." It's good to give vidui to Hashem. There's a lot of, you know, of subtext going on in this Mizmar Shel Yemei Shabbos. It's not simply a mizmar about Shabbos. It actually doesn't really speak too much about Shabbos. It's more about Shabbos in the context of tshuva. it's Shabbos in the context of vidui and kapara and singing to Hashem for the ability to have this beautiful, priceless gift called tshuva. Now, the question that Reb Tzadik HaKain Milublin asks is that we have other medrashim that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Rishon to do tshuva. It wasn't like a chiddush that Adam Rishon said, "Well, I had no idea about tshuva. Tell me a little about that, about this concept of tshuva." He knew about tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already taught him about tshuva. Rashi brings it that the reason why he was starting to talk so much to Adam Rishon is in order to be machnis him into a conversation, to bring him into a conversation so that he would confess and he would do tshuva. So we see that there is knowledge of tshuva in the mind of Adam Rishon. So what's he so impressed by? This is the kayach of tshuva. I had no idea. What do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told you about tshuva within 24 hours. So why is this such a shock to you? So listen to what Reb Tzadik says in the Pre Tzadik. He thought, Adam, when he heard about tshuva from Hashem, he thought, like we all think, that in order for me to do tshuva, I have to do tshuva shlema, I have to do a tshuva gemura. It's all or nothing tshuva. Either you completely change yourself radically, or it's nothing. And that's a big ask. It's not easy to change. Even Adam Rishon was the Yetzir Kapa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the handiwork of Hashem. He was beautiful. He was massive. He was brilliant. He was Misaifa Eilam Ad Saifa. Adam Rishon was the pinnacle of creation. Even he was scared off by this notion that I have to change somehow. But he had no idea. What he didn't know was that you don't need to do a tshuva shlema. If you do a little bit of tshuva, that's good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take that as well. It's not all or nothing. It's not, if I don't do a perfect tshuva, this whole Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur experiment is for naught. What's it worth? Says Reb Tzadik, that's what it means. Asisi tshuva v'nis pasharti. I did tshuva, but it wasn't a tshuva gemura. It was a pshara dikas tshuva. It was a tshuva that I compromised. I said to the Rebbe Hashem, listen, it's very hard for me to do the whole tshuva. I know I killed my brother, and you want me to really radically change myself, but that's very hard for me to do. I can't completely change who I am. I can't completely go from who I am to being a tzadikal. It's hard for me. But can we do a compromise tshuva? Can I plea bargain down to a half a tshuva, a quarter tshuva? Just, I'll do a little, I'll be maharabit tshuva, but I can't do a whole thing. And guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, deal. Kayin was able to actually bargain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that the tshuva need not be a tshuva shlema. It doesn't have to be a tshuva gemura. It would be great if it was, but it can't be. V'nispasharti, I made a pshara with Hashem, and this is the shock. This was the breaking news that Adma Rishon was taking from this, that, wow, I don't have to do a perfect tshuva. I could just make a pshara with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could try my best. He knows me. Ki yada yitzreinu. He knows who he created. Zachak yafar anachno. He remembers that we're just afar. We're basically compromised human beings. We're not perfect. We have our foibles. We have our chesrenes. We have our weaknesses. We have our moments that we slip and we sin. And that's because we're human. I'm just reminded of a story that Rabbi Trenk was a famous mechanech. They wrote a book, Arts Girl published a book called Just Love Them. And I was actually, one summer I was in Camp Monk and I was in his shir. He was very lebedik. He was, he was huge. He was very tall. And he used to jump on the tables. He would scream and he would sing. And he was a very, very interesting person. But he was an excellent mechanech. He was a mechanech in Adelphia Yeshiva, and with a lot of the boys there had challenges and struggles, and he was excellent with them. A lot of stories about him that are fascinating. But I just remember that a boy came to him one morning and said to him, "Rebbe, last night I gave into my taivas and I'm very upset and I feel so guilt ridden. What should I do? What should I do? How do I do? I do tshuva. What do I do? I was nichshol in the chet ha'yadua. It's very hard for me." So he says, "What do you mean? What should you do?" He says, "You should thank Hashem on your hands and knees, get down and thank Hashem that you're not a chalapsha, you're not a stuffed cabbage. You're a human being. As a human being, you have weaknesses, you have a yetzahara. You're not an inanimate object that's expected to be perfect. You're not a table, and you're not a camera, and you're not a piece of glass. You're a human being. And a human being is a very complex piece of machinery. We have a mind, and we have a heart, and we have a yetzahara, we have a yetzer hatayiv, we have genetics kicking in, and then we have our own family issues, and we have our financial issues, and we have our school issues, and we have our social issues, and there's a lot going on with a human being, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not unaware that we're not all Chavetz Chaims, we're not all stiplers. We didn't grow up where they grew up. We're not wired like they were wired, and even they had their own, you know, struggles and challenges that we'll never know about. So should we be flagrantly violating and doing averis daily? Obviously not. We're a bnei tayr, and we're supposed to uphold a certain standard of, you know, of mitzvahs and yerushamayim v'chulei. But at the same time, sometimes we're nichshol, and we have to do tshuva. We should feel a tinge of guilt, or maybe more than that. But at the same time, we have to recognize that we're human. And so as human beings, we're not perfect. We can't do things perfect. And if we expect ourselves to be superhuman and that, you know, but for me, I have to be perfect. It has to be perfect. Then good luck, because it's not going to work. And you're doing something the Rabbi Yisrael himself doesn't expect. Adma Rishon, who is the Yitzir Kap of Hashem, he was so happy to find out that there's the ability to do a pshara because Tshuva Gemura was out of his hands. So alachas kama v'kama us living in 2025, the hero tshuva that we have is so powerful that we should not underestimate it and should not like just say, well, it's not enough for me. I'm not doing good enough. The way that we grow in life is incrementally. We do a little bit, and then we do a little bit, and we do a little bit. Before you know it, we'll see greatness. But it doesn't start, you know, in one day. Sometimes we have this notion, and a lot of Yeshiva Bachrim do this. Let's say, I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I get bitten by this concept. I want to be stark. I want to be from. And so in one night, all of a sudden, I ditch all my old clothing. I trade them in for white shirts and black pants, and I get myself a black hat. And I'm learning until 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm davening like crazy, and I'm not speaking Lashon Hara, and I'm not. It works, but I'd say that works for maybe 2% of the population. 98% of the people that try this and want to be like perfect from day one, they crash and they burn and they never come back. It's not. The normal way of doing it. It's not healthy. It's not normal. And, you know, sometimes guys come to me, they say, Rebbe, I want to wear a hat. I said, just wait, just take it easy. You know, just first come to davening a little bit, and then come to Seder, and we'll talk about a hat like Purim time, you know, Pesach time. Let's just take things incrementally, step by step. Let's baby steps and baby steps, and eventually we'll come to being who we are, but it has to be in a healthy progression, and that's how tshuva works. Tshuva is, I'm starting with a hero tshuva. I'm going to make a Kabbalah. All the Svarim HaKadoshim say that the Kabbalahs that we make this time of year should not be massive. If you're saying, I want to finish Yevamos by Yom Kippur, it's ridiculous, right? What should be my Kabbalah? My Kabbalah should be a very easy something to do. You know, something, a regular thing, Nagel Vasser, you know, something that's easy, not overly taxing, something that we could do that's accomplishable. Even the great Rav Shach famously was Mekabel on himself, Rosh Hashanah time. You know, they asked him, what was your Kabbalah? And he says, my Kabbalah was, I'm going to bench out of a bencher. Rav Shach, you know, he could have finished Yevamos by, you know, literally by Yom Kippur. He could finish Yevamos by Shabbos. He could do anything that he wants. He was Superman. But he said, I want to make sure the Kabbalah sticks. I want to make sure that the Kabbalah is going to be effective and it's accomplishable. So he says, I made a Kabbalah. I'm going to bench out of a bencher, but only when I'm home. Because when I'm home, I know I have a bencher. When I'm in, when I'm on the road, I'm at a chasna, sometimes, you know, there's no one has a bencher. And so then I'm not, the kabbal, then I'll daven, I'll bench bal peh. And it's not the whole year, it's just, I want to bench and a bencher until Hanukkah time. Like mamish, the most constrained, constricted kabbalah that a human being could make, and this is Rav Shach. So if we could just like make a little bit of a kabbalah, a little teeny kabbalah, that's perfect. That's the greatest gift that we could give Hashem for Rosh Hashanah. Not the smaller the better. Mamish, the smaller the better. It's not even like, okay, but I think I could do more. Don't do more. Just do a little bit and make sure to stick to it. Whatever it is, everybody has their own things that they feel that they could work on. Some people, you know, maybe we should get to davening a little bit earlier. You know, we get to daven, we roll in, maybe, you know, Baruch Shamar, we could be here for brachas. You know, maybe, you know, not looking at our phones so much, or not using our phones during certain hours of the day, or putting them away before we go into Seder. That's not asking the impossible, but it's very powerful. It's a very powerful thing. Calling our parents, you know, more often, just any kabbalah you could do. But it's a very, very important thing to the Rebbeinu Shalom to see that we're trying. Not that we're succeeding even, not that we're perfecting, but even the try, even the attempt during this time of year is extremely important. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say, there's a famous Gemara, and it's Rashi brings it in Chumash, that why is the tcheles on the tzitzis that color? Why don't you make it orange? It'll be orange is a nice color also. Why do you make it blue? So the Gemara says, Mipnei Shaha Tcheles Dai Miliyam. The Tcheles, that color looks like the sea. And it's true, right? That color is very much like the sea. The Hayam Dai Milirakia. The Yam is similar. It's really a reflection of the Rakia. I mean, if you take you can go to the bluest ocean and you take a cup of water, you take a glass and you look at it, it's not blue, it's white. You know why the water is blue? Because it reflects the color of the heavens. So it's a reflection of the heavens. And the heavens themselves, v'hashamayim l'rakiyas daimeh to the kisei hakavod. The tachas hakisei kemaisa livnas asapir. There was a sapphire there, that color. So basically, that's why we take blue. We're supposed to remind ourselves of the kisei hakavod. Frechter Meisha, why don't you just say that tcheles is the color of the kisei hakavod? But cut out the middleman. Why do you have to? Okay, the tchelis is daim l'yam, and the yam is daim l'rakia. The rakia is daim l'kisei hakavod. Such a waste. Like, just say that the tchelis is daim l'kisei hakavod. Tell me that that's the color of the kisei hakavod, and I'll get it. It's Yerushamayim. I'm thinking of the kisei hakavod. Says Rav Moshe, it's teaching you a lesson that whatever we do in life, any accomplishment that we have in life must be done b'hadraga. It has to be done midarga ladarga, one rung to the next rung. First, I have to look at the tcheles. If I want to grow from the tzitzis, from the mitzvahs of the Torah, I have to first take it step by step, take it slowly. Okay, so I know that the tcheles is like the ocean. I could relate to the ocean. It's right here. Now the ocean, when I get a chance to graduate from the ocean, I'll notice that the ocean is the color of the rakia. Rakia, eventually I'll chap that the rakia is. But if you're jumping right away to the kisei hakavod, if you're going to say, ah, the tcheles, I'm going to the kisei hakavod right away, that's dangerous. Don't approach the kisei hakavod right away. You can't do that. It has to be done slowly. You have to go step by step, baby step by baby step. I know this sounds like a funny schmooze. It's like a schmooze to do nothing. It's like, don't aspire for greatness. This is the only way to attain greatness. If you're going to try to be great by being the guy in a Vilna, you know, overnight, it's not going to happen. It will not happen. It never did happen, and it will never happen, because that's not the way growth works. Growth has to be very, very incremental, slowly, slowly. If you're saying, you know what, I'm going to run the New York City Marathon this year, and, you know, and instead of, like, building up to those, I don't know how many, 25 miles, whatever it is, I'm gonna just not doing, you know, 1 mile today, 2 miles tomorrow. I'm gonna just go the whole 25. Just gesunde, go from sitting in your seat like a schlub to running 25 miles in one shot. It's just not gonna work. You're gonna chas v'shalom. You know, hatzalah is gonna have to be called. It's not gonna work. That's not the way you work out. That's not the way any. But I wanna do it already. It's very commendable, but that's not the way you do it. You have to do it with a trainer. You have to do it slowly. You have to get yourself in shape. You have to stretch your muscles, your whatever it is. And eventually you'll get there if you work hard on it. But it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to be a goyin overnight. And you're not going to be a tzaddik overnight. And you're not going to be a talmid chacham overnight. You're not going to be a marbitz Torah. You're not going to be a baal tzedakah overnight. You have to train yourself like anything. And that's a good thing. That's because we're human. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that, and he understands that we're trying. We're on a long journey ahead, and we're doing it step by step. We're doing it incrementally. And even a hirur tshuva at this time of year is extremely precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that Hashem says that Eftach li Pesach kechudesh olmachat. Just want you to make like a pinprick of a hole, the size of a pinprick, the size of a vani eftach lochem karubes hashamayim. If you start to try to do tshuva, even a little tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will open up for you from that little pinprick, the size of like an expansive hall, like a huge hall. Imagine, MetLife Stadium, that massive stadium, all from a pinprick, a little pinprick. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us is to try to begin the process of changing. I want to change. Just wanting to change is enough. I want to be a little better. I want to be a little bit more of a Ben Tayer. I want to daven a little better. Not great. I'm not going to daven a 30-minute Shemayin Esrei every day. But a little more Kavana. The Kavana of the Bracha Rishayin of Shemayin Esrei, which we're supposed to be mechavin for. That alone is gold. It's not a small thing. And especially in our days, we're living obviously in times. I don't have to tell you that the Eitz Hara is having a field day. It's not shayach to explain how hard it is to live and to function as a ben Taira in this tkufa, in these times. I always say that when I was a kid, there was also Eitz Hara. But it was hard. If you wanted to be nichshel in an aveira, you had to, I'm not getting into all the pratim, but you had to like really want to do something very badly to want, because it wasn't benim, it wasn't around. Like, if your house didn't have a TV or didn't have cable TV, in order to see something, in order to get, you'd have to mamish like go and buy and sneak. And it was hard. It was doable. People did it, but it was much more difficult. Today, as you know, every single taiva in the world is at our fingertips, mamish, in our pockets. Kol tzarua v'chol zav v'chol tamil nefesh. Anything that a person, could even remotely have a taiva to see, you could see in 2 seconds, as much as you want, unlimited access. And that is the Eitz Hara's, grand finale. This is his masterstroke, that he was able to do this. It was like not thinkable, but he did it. And that's a very big problem for us, obviously, but it's also a great opportunity for us because when we do things that are good, this is from the Shlakadish. Shlakadish lived about 400 or 500 years ago. 400 or 500 years ago. You can imagine what the technology was 500 years ago. You can imagine what, if it was hard, if I'm telling you what it was like when I was a kid to do a taiva, imagine what it was like in Europe 500 years ago to do an aveira. And the Shlach Kaddish then said the following. He said, how is it that we are davening that we should bring Mashiach? Tisha B'Av, you see all these videos. One more mitzvah, one more brick, and we could bring the Beis HaMikdash. Please, I don't understand. The Rambam didn't bring Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bring Mashiach. Reb Kiveger didn't bring Mashiach. The Ktzais didn't bring Mashiach. The Altman Slabak didn't bring Mashiach, the Baal Shem Tov didn't bring Mashiach, The Baba Sali didn't bring Mashiach. So I'm going to bring Mashiach. I'm going to bring Moshe Bamberger is going to bring Mashiach in 2025. We're going to bring Mashiach. Are you crazy? What right do we have even to have the chutzpah to imagine that we're going to be able to bring Mashiach, something that the great Gedolim of the past, or Moshe Feinstein, or Aaron Cutler, the Rav Ruderman, the Stipler, Reb Chaim Kaniel, they didn't bring Mashiach, and we're going to bring Mashiach. Please. I mean, it's almost like it's kfira even to think that. Says L'Shla HaKadosh, listen to this. He says that because we're living, and it's laughable because L'Shla HaKadosh, like, what did he have already? But because we're living in such difficult times, in terms of taivas, in terms of Yetzirah, the Yetzirah is really powerful. So the smallest mitzvah that we do, says the L'Shla HaKadosh, could be greater than the biggest mitzvah that were done in the times of the Kadmainim, times of the Rishainim, and times of the Tanaim, Amayraim. That means to say that if we're sitting here and learning, which we're doing, or we got up in the morning and we went to davening, and our davening was pretty schwach, right? It was like it's Friday morning and, you know, I wasn't so into it. I was tired and it's been a long week. You should know that as much as you think that your davening was schwach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, it's 2025, they're tired, they have to go to school and they have to learn the whole week, and they got up for davening on Friday. They came to a shmooze Friday morning, and with this small, what you think is like, you know, not so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you could give me all the Rambam's mitzvahs, give me all Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzvahs, and it's nothing on a scale to this one davening that he did. Maybe a lifetime of the Rambam is not equal to one Friday morning shmooze that a person comes to. It's hard to say that. This is the L'Shla HaKadosh. And the L'Shla HaKadosh had no idea what would happen 100 years from him, 200 years from him, and today. No idea, I promise you. He had no, because nobody knew. But we're living in this generation and we're struggling, and yet we're here. And don't think that that's a dvarim shel mabakach. Well, yeah, but I'm not like my grandfather. I'm not like my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was him, and I'm looking at me. I'm a bum. I do this and I do that. Yes, if we're doing averus, we should try to stop. That's not the takeaway from the shmuz. But the takeaway from the shmuz is that appreciate the things that you're doing. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, you are great. You're amazing. You're able to get up for davening. How many guys did not get up for davening this morning? I got up for davening. I learned this morning. I'm going to, you know, whatever you do, any mitzvah you do, put a dollar in the pushka, that's like in Shemayim, that's like, it's like, you know, Kailu Subrakim start crashing. This guy's amazing. He put a dollar in the pushka in 2025. Whatever we're doing, we have no idea. So the Shlagar says, we could bring Mashiach when they couldn't, because every mitzvah on the scale that we're doing is so powerful that it's taka in a certain way. We're not greater than Rav Kiv Eiger, and we're not greater than the Rambam, but the power of the mitzvahs that we do could far and vastly outweigh the mitzvahs that they did, the tefillos that they had, and the, because we're living in such times that are everything is so hard. And it wasn't lost on Hashem how hard it is. And if you think that, well, you know, Hashem expects me to be perfect, and look, I'm a bum because I did this and that, we can always change. We could always better ourselves. But understand that if you're here today and you're learning and you're davening, and you're Reb Kiv Eiger, you're the Rambam, Mazel Tov. We'll end with a maisa, the Chavetz Chaim. There was a baker that once came to the Chavetz Chaim, and he asked for a bracha. He said, I need a bracha. He says, what do you need a bracha for? He says, every night I bake 1,000 bilkalach, 1,000 buns, 1,000 rolls of bread for the morning to sell. He says, and, you know, I sell only about 600 of them, and the rest I have to give away. I have to sell cheaper as bird food. And he says, and why am I not selling all 1,000? Because people come in, they complain. Everyone's complaining, you know, it's too hard, it's too soft, there's too much, you know, it's not round enough, it's a little off shape, the shape is a little bit off. Everybody has their complaints. It's very hard business, the food business. I had a Talmud that was, He opened up a restaurant, and he basically got so burned out because it's a very hard business, the restaurant business. You just go in, you eat, you buy a shawarma, you buy a, you know, whatever, and you think like, you know, this is a great business. It's a very hard business. My Talmud did it, and he said everybody was complaining, and he had a great store. The food was out of this world, and it was fresh, but everybody had some complaint. The sushi is too this, and the pretzels are too that, and the soda's too, everyone's complaining. He says sometimes, like, this woman came in, she was screaming at him that, you know, this wasn't good, that wasn't good. And then he says, you know what? I don't want you ever to come back to the store. She says, it's good, because I'm never coming back to the store. He says the next day, she came into the store, she was wearing, like, big sunglasses and, like, a trench coat and, like, a hat. Like, she needed what he was selling. He had delicious food. She wanted to come back, but she wanted to complain also. So, you know, so she snuck in. She thought that she was, like, hiding, but that... So the baker said, "Listen, everyone's complaining about my food. Everyone's like, the bagels aren't this, and the rolls aren't that, and the kokosh cake is too chocolatey. Everyone has tainus." Okay, so he gave him a bracha. This was right before World War I. World War I breaks out. Everybody's going crazy. The world is turned upside down. And the Chavetz Chaim sees this guy, this baker, and he's grinning from ear to ear. Everything is great. So the Chavetz Chaim says, why are you smiling? You look so happy. Don't you know there's a world war going on? Millions of people are dying. He says, Rebbe, I do know that, but he says, I'm selling out of all my rolls. Every single morning, I'm selling all 1,000 rolls. He says, you know why? He says, because during wartime, nobody cares if the rolls are a little too hard, a little too soft, there's too much sesame, there's too much, not enough poppy seeds on the bagel. Nobody cares. It's wartime. We understand if the bagel is shaped a little bit funny, we'll take it. It's war. And during a time of war, you take anything. You're not particular. And the Chavetz Chaim used to say that this is what we're going through in our life, the tkufa that we're living in. And again, this is Chavetz Chaim's period in Radin, and very small, nothing, no technology town. He said it's war. The Yetzer is very powerful today. And because it's so powerful, we have a lot of nesyanis. But guess what? The good news is that Hashem is taking everything that we give. The davening might not be perfect. Hashem is happy with it. The learning isn't perfect. I battle here and there. Hashem is happy with it. My ben adam l'chaver is pretty good, but it's not perfect. Take it. Hashem is taking everything. Hashem is really, really happy to take anything that we offer. So it's true that we do averus, and it's true that our mitzvahs could be a lot better, and we have to work on that. But at the same time, we're going into Rosh Hashanah, I hope, with a reality that I'm trying my best. I'm trying. It's very hard for me. I have a lot of nisyanis. I have a lot going on in my life. We each know what we're struggling with personally. And we don't know, by the way, what other people are struggling. So sometimes you see somebody else and you judge them. Well, they don't come for davening. You don't know what they're going through. So don't judge them either. But what we have to know is that l'chol tshuva timtza slicha. Every tshuva will be met with open arms and acceptance and forgiveness by Hashem. And so don't think that it has to be a perfect tshuva. Any tshuva is good. A hearer tshuva at this time, Hashem will take. Hashem is accepting everything. And Hashem loves everything. Hashem loves us. He wants us to have a good year. He wants us to do tshuva. He just wants us to make that pinprick of tshuva, and it'll open up galaxies of forgiveness, galaxies of chiba. I once said this shmooze, I think the last time I said it was 2014. I think I'm allowed to say it again. 2014 is 11 years ago. And a Talmud after the shmooze came over to me. I know he lives in Florida today because I was down there in the summer and I happened to just bump into him in a restaurant. And he told me, I wrote down on my card who it was, and he told me the following thing. I'll even mention it, b'shem amr. His name is Avishai Weiss. And he said the following ha'ara based on what we just said. I think it's a very important addition. He said that if you notice, the bracha of tshuva and Shemana Esrei is that we say that v'chazirenu b'shuva Shlema Lefanecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take me back, b'tshuva shlema. Let me do a tshuva shlema and let me come back to you with that tshuva shlema. Meaning, like the notion that we had coming into the Shmuz is that in order for me to do tshuva, it has to be a tshuva shlema, and we want that. It would be great to do a tshuva shlema, but that's what we think. Like Adam Arishan, we think that we need to do a tshuva shlema. And you know what the bracha that's mesayim this bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is? Baruch Ata Hashem, haroitze b'tshuva. It doesn't say that he's roitze b'tshuva shlema. Haroitze b'tshuva. Don't, it's fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me speak for myself. I understand you want to do tshuva shlema, that's beautiful. But mitzidi, from what I expect of you, I'm haroitze b'tshuva. I want and I accept and it's pleasing by me any tshuva. Any tshuva is good. It's not a right to b'tshuva shlema, a right to b'tshuva gemura. It's a right to b'tshuva. Hashem just wants any form of tshuva. Give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit. I'll give you the siyat d'shmaya to do the greater form of tshuva. But don't come into Rosh Hashanah expecting perfection. Perfection is the enemy of good. And we have to be able to be realistic and do things b'hadraga, slowly, slowly wins the race. Eventually, every gadol didn't start at the finish line. He started at the first step, then he did a second step, and he saw he could do that. And when he did that well, he did a third step. Before you knew it, he became a gadol. And we can't be gedolim overnight. It's not possible. When we do try to jump to the ladder, jump to the kisei hakavod in one fell swoop, it doesn't work. We're not Superman. We do it one floor at a time, one rung at a time, slowly, methodically, with a plan, with a cheshvan, with speaking to Rabbeim about it, and eventually, we'll get to the promised land. We'll get there. But it has to be with the complete understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaRoitze B'Tshuva. He wants tshuva. He wants any form, any role is good. It might be a little not perfectly shaped. It might be a little hard, a little soft, a little too small, a little too big. Hashem accepts it's war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it's wartime. He accepts anything. And it's up to us to realize this, to accept it, and to understand that I am who I am, and with who I am, with all of my gifts and with all of my challenges, I'm going to serve Hashem. I'm going to come into Rosh Hashanah with that and give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the best that I could give him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting. And Amir Tzah Hashem, we should all get the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should have a Shana Taiva Masukah, a beautiful, sweet new year. And all of our tefillah should be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer, L'Ratzon, L'Taiv. And we should, as yeshiva, be one. We should have achdus. We should get together. We should have reyos and chiba for one another. And we should learn and steig and daven together and grow together. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will have a wonderful year. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha to aksiva v'chasimateva good kebenshtiyar.